will be a little bit different. I might approach this very different for those of you usuals of how I would usually go about speaking. This is a very personable sort of topic. And it makes people feel, I think, uncomfortable. And I think Jesus knew that. Actually, I think there's other words rather than it makes people uncomfortable. But before we go on, let me ask people this. Has anybody, especially for those who would call yourselves Christian, has anybody ever prayed, maybe when you were like 10 years old, 11 years old, 14 years old, off at a camp, maybe when you were in your early 20s, maybe this morning, maybe at some point in church somewhere where you're like, Jesus, you know, one of those great songs are on. You're like, Jesus, you know, take my life. Do whatever you want to do. My life is in your hands. Do whatever. Anybody ever prayed one of those radical type of prayers before of God, do what you want to do with my life? It's not mine. Those are like some very seriously dangerous prayers. And I believe God holds us to those type of prayers. So I just want to just wanted to throw that out there and ask you that to kind of remind yourself of what you signed up for when you said that, right? Because tonight, I don't want to use a lot of my own words. I want to use a lot of the scriptures and stuff that Jesus said, because I feel like those words will hit home a lot better than mine. Now, there are some great quotes out there. I saw this interview with Bob Marley, yes, the Rastafarian guy who brought us some great music. And I remember, I saw in this video, and this guy asked him, he said, you know, about his riches now that you have all this money. You know, and he was like, well, what's a lot of money? And he says, what's a lot of money to you? Great question. And the guy said, I don't know, millions. He's like, no, I don't have millions. And he says, well, what do you do with all your or your riches? And he's like, well, what do you mean by riches? And he wasn't trying to be, hard to handle or nothing like that. He was just literally asking, well, what do you mean? Completely different perspectives of what this journalist had and what Bob Marley had. And then he asked him, he said, well, what do you mean by riches? What do you mean by riches? He's like, you know, possessions. So possessions make you rich. And he said, well, yeah, I guess so. And he says, well, I don't have that either. And he says, well, you know, with your success, with your riches. And he said, you know, and Bob Marley had this weird sort of religious belief. It was like a mixture of things. But one of the big things is, you know, they had was very similar to stuff that we believed in eternity. And one of the things he said at the end, he told the journalist, he says, my riches is that I live forever. Now, he might not be able to stand on that. But as Christians, as believers in the Bible and believers of Jesus, the same Jesus that came to this earth, died, and rose again and said, you know what? You're coming with me. You have a place in eternity because of what he did. We could say that. And we have this weird sort of in society, this weird view. And I feel like the best way to kind of, I guess, counter a kind of a view that we might have is this scripture here. We have this view when it comes to success. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think not some of us as in like in this room, maybe in this room, but some of us in society, even as Christians, would identify with that journalist. Our mind would go to automatically with riches, success, things like that, to money, possessions, things like that, fame, popularity, you know, Instagram followers, social media followers, how many comments, likes, things like that. But let me remind you guys this as well. In Romans 12:2, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said this. Great verse. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will. What God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. And this is a tough one when it comes to money. Now, let me back up and say this. So, we've been talking about next level living. Anybody ready to live on a next level? Anybody tired of living on that same level that you've lived before? Whether you're at level one, whether you're at level 28, and you just want to go to a next level, well, then this is all part of it, what we're going to get into tonight. Now, we've talked about prayer, next level prayer. Not just, thank you, Jesus, for this food I'm about to eat, this Sunday dinner. Not Jesus, kill my neighbor, his music's too loud. Not none of those crazy prayers. I mean next level prayer where there's really no need. You're just praying for breakthrough for people in the world. You're praying for something for people who don't even like you very much, but you're praying for the best for them. That's next level prayer. We talked about next level living and fasting. That's an exciting thing for me because fasting might seem like a hard thing. It might seem like a weird concept, but that leads to spiritual, like, breakthrough. Like, things that we might not see in the moment when we're hungry, but in time, we see crazy breakthroughs. That's what I would always go to whenever I had problems I knew I couldn't fix. And I knew a one-off prayer might not be able to do that, so I lock myself away and I fast. We've talked about next level. Those are the things you pick up in this part right here, what we're about to read. I know I've been kind of building this up, and you're like, Dustin, just get to the text of what you're going to read. We're talking about money. Now, Michael had said, apparently I wasn't in here. I was in the youth, and about you'll learn about basically how to be a good steward. Now. There might have been some confusion. We've been reading in Matthew 6, and there's nothing really about stewardship in this, and you'll see. But it is about next level living, and it's a lot about money. Now, let me just give you guys just a couple stats about money, because I know sometimes you don't like it maybe when Michael comes up here and mentions money. If somebody comes up here and talks about offering, and we kind of, you know, just say, look, if you're a guest here, you don't have to give, whatever, da-da-da, and people kind of get uncomfortable. But let me give you a stat that I've known about this for quite some time. And it was this, that Jesus talked about money 16 of the 38 parables, right? He talked about how you handle money and possessions. And in the Gospels, those four books, one out of 10 verses, that's 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. Now, the Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions, right? So right away, sometimes we kind of get this idea of, you know, money's evil. You know, money is the root of all evil. It's not necessarily that it's the money. It's the love of it. You know what I'm saying? That Lord of the Rings, for some of us, you know, geeks like that, we like the Lord of the Rings where it's, you know, that Gollum thing. It's everywhere. It's not even just that little guy. He always gets the bad rap. But it's everybody who comes into to grips of that ring. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one to ever watch Lord of the Rings, right? Thank you, Lonnie. Me and you. We're the only ones who ever watched it, right? But it's that ring, and everybody, and I remember the narrator in that movie said, but they know the hearts of the men. They know the hearts of men, and it's weak, and it will want that. It's in love with the power. It's in love with the lust of what it brings. And it's the same thing. It's not that money. It's not about if you have it. It's about that love, that greed, that need. And I would encourage you, I think it was in June or July, to go back online and check out when Phil here spoke about consumerism. And I don't want to talk about consumerism necessarily, because there is a big difference between consumerism and being materialistic. Okay? Very close, but different. And that was a really good one. Now, let me just read this. Let me read this, right? This is in Matthew 6, but I want to read in this translation. So I would encourage you to follow along with what I'm reading. I'm going to read this a couple times because I feel like this is that good where we need to hear this. And I love the way this paraphrase puts it in the Message. And it you know how you have those titles at top? And I love it because in New Living Translations, NIV, ESV, all of them say money and possessions. You know what this one says? A life of God worship. A life of God worship. Sometimes we think of worship as a music set. Songs, romantic songs about Jesus. He's the lover of my soul and all this, you know, nice feeling stuff that reminds us, you know. And it's great and I love it. But worship is more than just a set, you know, like seven songs on a Sunday. And that's it throughout the week. And I love this. I love this, that it reminds us that our finances, our money is a fraction of what our worship is to God. Now, let me read this. It says this. It says, don't hoard your treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths, corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Pause. Let's read that one again. It says, the place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Your eyes are windows into your body. If your eye opens wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dark cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will live. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't use, that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? Take pride in you. Do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and then the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God's reality, God intention, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. This, I feel like with that, I feel like we could put that on a loop and just allow God's word to just challenge us. Just even that portion, that part where it says our eyes are like windows. There are other huge and big, like those windows back there, wide open. We could see everything. I can see the cars. I can see the shininess off the street from the rain, from the lights hitting them. You can see people walking by. You can see everything. It's just wonder. It's everything. And it talks about that's like our perspective, okay? Because this verse is trapped in between about Jesus talking about money. And it's talking about our perspective needs to be a bit broader than just our career, our success, a second home, our holidays, our fashion, our you know, food that we sit back and we talk about, oh, it was gorgeous. And we have all these other words we muster up about a meal we just ate because, you know, at least from America, we eat for sport. But the big part is he puts in there on purpose, our perspective of how we view money is much broader than just what we think. Again, we can't conform to the patterns of this world that tell us as much money as you can. I remember in America, I used to see in Ohio these stickers in the back of people's cars. You don't ever see them here, but it was a big thing in America. And I remember people used to have one that said, he who has the most toys when he dies wins. He who has the most toys when he dies wins. Ridiculous. That makes no sense. Because you can't take stuff with you. You can't take it with you. So our perspective as we look about our money, what we put our money into, what we do, and it's not even, it's the money is how we get it, how we guard it, but how we give it as well. And as we look out, it talks about our perspective needs to be much bigger. Or like behind these lights here and these black things, there's little windows. And it talks about like these little blinds, you know, we're squinting, we can barely see. It's like we're one dimensional when it comes to money. It's greed, it's me. It's about shopping, it's all this stuff. There was this thing, I don't know if you guys ever heard of, it's not influenza, but affluenza. Anybody ever heard of that before? There was this documentary that came out like 22 years ago. And it talked about, it was all about materialistic. And there was this stat, and it was about America. But I'm sure the same can apply here. And I'm sure even the stats probably now, today, would be higher than they were back then 22 years ago when the internet just wasn't around and we didn't have computers attached to us as phones. And it talked about how the average person would spend 6 hours a week shopping and 40 minutes a week playing with their children. And it talked about the addiction and the need and the greed for shopping, for materialism. And it talked about, it started giving characteristics of how those people would feel. They would feel so burnt out, always burnt out, having these careers. And I'm not knocking careers, but it's more of, do you love the job or do you just love the paycheck? And do you work hard just so you can play? You work hard to spend? Then you go back to work and you work hard again just to spend. And then you blink and you go from 25, 26 years old to 45, 50 years old and you're just waiting for retirement. And all you know is your life is completely spent. And I feel like that's the picture I get when it's this really, really just this sliver of a window. It's too one-dimensional. It's too narrow-minded. Instead, it needs to be much bigger. It needs to be way much bigger. And it's how we get things. And it blew my mind when I started learning about this affluenza. And a lot of the stats I saw were from, you know, yeah, like I said, 22 years ago. But the characteristics of people that were in debt because of credit cards and buying all this stuff that they didn't even need. And it's crazy. I remember being 19 years old. See, I grew up poor. Some of you guys would know that who've been here. Grew up really, really poor, days without food, things like that, wearing shoes that I had no business wearing. But somehow my mom found them somewhere and said, you can wear these to school. Better than going to school looking like Mowgli with bare foot, Bilbo Baggins style, right? So I would do that. But when I was 19, I had a job. I just found myself in a place where I was living with my aunt. I didn't have no bills besides old school brick cell phone sort of thing. And I had car insurance. But the inevitable happens. I have this money and I start just stocking it up. I just started saving it. And it sounded good, but I didn't know what to do with it. See, my point of view and my perspective with money was just so short-sighted. It was never about giving to people. It was never about, it eventually changed up, but it was all about me. And then it got to the point where I'm like, oh, I need to spend this on me. I literally, it sounds so pathetic. Maybe for some people, maybe if you need prayer, you'll probably be excited about, oh, that's the life. But every weekend, and throughout the week, I'd wear my clothes, my regular work clothes. But on the weekend, I would just go and buy new clothes every weekend. So Friday, I'd just go out and buy the clothes I'm going to wear that day. And on Saturday, I would go to the shop, buy clothes that I'm going to wear that day. Sunday, I'd go buy clothes that I'm going to wear that day. And then I just wouldn't wash them. I mean, I was young. I was stupid. I was a guy and just didn't want to wash clothes. Because I had all this money. A friend of mine was going to go buy this computer that he had made. And I was just with him like, oh, I'll buy one too. Bought a computer. I had no idea what to do with it. I spent back then, this was like 99, 2000, something like that. I had bought a computer for $700. That was a lot of money back then. $700, and I probably used it about 5 times. But the feeling I had going up to purchasing this computer, I was like, whew, check me out. You know, I'm buying a computer. Like, this is great. Excuse me. But it is the thing that we will all face with that greed, that tension. Excuse me, because that's when then Jesus starts talking about you can't serve two masters. You can't. Back to the Lord of the Ring reference, knowing the heart of men. Knowing in 1 John when it talks about the lust, this stuff that we see, the lust of the eye and our heart, the things that we desire, the pride, the things wanting to be elevated, wanting to be have a certain status, because that's what the fashion is about. That's what the clothes is about, and it's not to knock on those things, but it's how it's our heart, it's our perspective. So I just want to leave you with three things, because really, what I want to do is I want us to get our minds off of from this and we bring it to God, right? So let me give you three things to consider, to think about this whole passage. And I would just encourage you for this this coming up week that you would read that passage of scripture in Matthew 6 where it talked about a life of God worship or money and possessions. But the first thing I would say is don't store up your treasure here on earth. Now, you might say, I'm saving up money because I'm going on a mission trip. That's cool, because you're not just saving it for nothing. There are people who just want to build a kingdom. If you are a Christian, listen, if you are a Christian, you are following the values and the principles that Jesus sets out, because that's what that means, then you are all about his kingdom, not yours. Do you understand that? That is a tough reality that we all have to face. That I've been at. It's not my kingdom. It's not about my palace. It's not about that. I'm full on aware of what I have can be gone like that. Job style. I am aware of that. I am never in a place where I feel like, oh, I've worked for this. I've earned this. I deserve this. Not knowing that it can just be gone like that. We shouldn't just stock up treasures here on earth. Our perspective of how we do with things. Let me read this passage from Jesus. This is in Luke 12. And this one is a challenging one as well. But it's better. I'm glad it's his words, not mine. And this will start up at 14. And again, I'm going to read from the Message translation. Actually, I'm going to start in 12. It says this, or in 13, it says, someone out of the crowd said, teacher, order my brother to give me a fair share of the family inheritance. He replied, mister, what makes you think it's any of my business to be a judge or a mediator for you? Speaking to the people, he went on, take care. Protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. Listen, protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. In the wise words of Biggie Smalls, Notorious Big, may he rest in peace. More money, more problems. And we'll get to that later on. But even when you have a lot. And then it says, then he told them this story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, what can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest. Then he said, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I'll say to myself, self, you've done well. You've got it made and can now retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life. Just then God showed up and said, fool, tonight you die. And your barn full of goods, who gets it? That's what happens when you fill your barn with yourself and not with God. Sobering words, right? For all of us who raised our hands, said, I told God, do what you want. Do what you want. And especially for some of us or in the room that are students, or maybe you're youth, you're in A-levels or whatever it is, or you're done with university. This is a big thing that's been ingrained in our mind. And as a parent, this is something I think about. This is something me and my wife talk a lot about. It's just, what is our culture? Because see, this is different from our culture. This is counterculture of what we live in today's society. Now, I'm fine. I'm just like Jesus said. Remember when they came up to him and they tried to catch Jesus? They always try to fool Jesus. And they talked about paying taxes to Caesar. He said, whose face is on it? Give Caesar what is Caesar's. Give God what is God. We are gods. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are God. You are gods, rather. So let's not get over the small details of, yeah, you got to pay taxes, pay taxes. You got to work a job to pay rent or pay for the mortgage, then you do that. You have to do that. But it's about our perspective. Are we just trying to store up all of this stuff for self-pleasing pleasure? Are we trying to be like this, where we're trying to get this barn full of like, man, I got holidays here, holidays here, holidays here. I'm all about Sabbath. I'm all about a time to unplug and just relax. I'm all about that. Everybody's grinding, from students, from those you guys who are grandparents. You thought you were out of past being parents, and now all of a sudden grandparents come and you're the babysitters, and all that stuff. Everybody needs a time to unplug and relax. And whatever it is, whether you're just chilling in West Wales or you know, what, somewhere here in Swansea, or it's in Dubai or somewhere amazing like that. But it's our heart. What is it that we're after? Is it greed? Is it competitiveness? Is it comparison? Because that is what tends to draw us, these comparisons of the greed, the need to want more. Crazy. So the first thing is, do not store up your treasures here on earth. The second thing is, do not make money and possessions your God. Do not make money and possessions your God. Now, this is easier than just saying, amen, Dustin. From now on, at this time now, I am no longer making sure that money and possessions are my God. This is something every day. This is when you get a promotion and you have more money. Because soon as, even before we get promotions, sometimes that money's already spent. And it's, what am I spending my money on? What am I giving my time to? One of the things Michael talked about, again, a great sermon a month ago, talking about next level giving. I don't want to get into that, but that's it as well. That ties into this. Because sometimes God gives us something. God gives us something amazing, and he puts it in our hand, and we just close it tight. This is my blessing. This is mine. This is my degree. I worked hard for this degree. So the money I get, I'll give them what's theirs for the loan, but this is for me to enjoy my life and make sure I got security. This is my job. I earned this. This is my money. I worked overtime. I have this. I want to enjoy this. But the things, one of the things I've learned is what God gives me, I can't clinch onto. Because sometimes it comes into my hand, enjoy it for a little bit, and then it's gone. It goes on to the next person. And that is the mindset we need to have. And it's a lot easier when we realize that money and possessions cannot be our God. And one of the last part of this scripture, or this portion of scripture, ending off in Matthew 6, I love, because it has everything to do with today in our society, is our mental health. And he talked about worry. He talked a lot about worry, Jesus did, at the end. He talked about not worrying about your everyday needs, necessities, the things that you need, the clothes that you have, the food that you eat. And now this is hard, because in our society, sometimes I'm that way. If I'm being honest, sometimes I feel like I have to text Karis to find out what we're going to eat, because sometimes from the drive from here to go home, and sometimes with traffic, there's a little bit of traffic, in my head I start just thinking of what I want. Then my taste buds, you know, my mind starts speaking to my taste buds, and then it really wants tacos, you know, and I start thinking of, ooh, lettuce chopped up, you know, some sour cream, some tomatoes, the nice flavor of Mexico. Not really, it's not Mexican, it's from Tesco's Finest. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking of all that stuff. I'm like, ooh, refried beans and some nacho chips to dip in there and eat it. Oh, and then I go home and we have a meal that I really like, lasagna. But by that time, I don't want it. I don't want it because my taste buds are screaming for tacos. I've been sweating tacos. That's what I want. But I go there and I got lasagna, and sometimes I, you know, it's weird. When you get to my age or whatever, I guess for some of you guys way past my age, maybe you guys realize, or you're just like, Dustin, you're crazy. But I'm just like, I kind of pout. I really want tacos. And then in the big scheme of things, sometimes, and it sounds stupid, I will go and make my own meal because I really want tacos, and I know I can just do that. What a ridiculous first world problem to have. Am I right? I don't want to put you on blast, so I'll put myself on blast. What a ridiculous thing to do, right? I shouldn't be worried about what I'm having, what good meal I'm having. Because God says he will give me what I need. He will give me what I need. Not always what I want. We are in a culture, it's money, money, money. It's possessions, 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 success, success, success. And I think as Christians, I think as the church, I think we have a lot to offer people. I think now more than ever. Because we have people who have all of that stuff. You want fame? I know people, I don't know them, but I know celebrities who have a lot of fame. Millions of followers. I know people who have a lot of money. Do you want money? They have a lot of money. They have a lot of possessions and yet take their own life because they find out it's not enough. It's not enough. They made it their God and they made it their master and it's a terrible master. Money can be a great servant. It's a terrible master. It can serve a great purpose in building God's kingdom or even helping you to relax and unplug when exams or life has just been tough and you just need to get away and just do. It can be a great servant. It's a terrible master. So when he talks about worry now, that's a big thing. Me and Karis were talking the other day. Honestly, we were just talking, and I asked the question, like, what do you want? What do you want to do? Like, you know, what are you thinking about? What do you worry about? Stuff like that. And so we just start talking about stuff we worry about, and I'm thinking, man, these are just, like, I read the Bible, these are really big problems I'm pretty sure most of us in here would worry about. And then I can't help when it's, you know what I'm saying? When it's somebody else talking about it, you have all the answers. But when it's you with the problem, you know, no answer is good enough for you. So when she brought it up, some of these worries, and I had the same worries as well, I was just kind of like, oh, you know, in my head, I didn't say them because, you know, it's my wife. If I say, you know, just with us and trying to fix everything, she would like, don't fix everything, you know. You asked me. Let me at least say it, you know. In my head, I'm thinking of all these scriptures, and it starts ministering to myself. I'm building myself up with faith, and my worry is just disintegrating. It is disintegrating. As she's talking, and I'm thinking, I understand that. At first, I'm like, I feel that. And then as I start thinking, like preparing in my head of maybe a response, a biblical response, a biblical worldview on when it comes to money and the future and things like that, I find the worry and the anxiety just being gone because it's my trust is in God. It has to be. It has to be. Why? Because money is a terrible master. Because I can store it up. We read that in that parable. I can store it up, and it can be gone like that. Then who gets it? First thing, don't store up your treasures here on earth. Second thing, don't make money and possessions your master, your God. Last thing, don't get weighed down with worry. Trust in God. We have to trust in God. I want to invite Phil to come on up here. A lot of things said, and a lot of things you could be saying. You know what, Dustin? It's easy said than done. I got student debt. I got mortgage. I'm on a second mortgage. I have credit card debt. I have problems, even my basic necessities of rent. I'm struggling of how that's going to get paid. My kid has this and this going on. I don't know how that's going to go on. I don't have an answer for you. I don't. But what I will tell you is God will meet your need. He will meet your need. And our perspective of how we approach money and possessions should change. It really does. And this has been challenging me. And the crazy thing is I didn't know I was really going to speak on this until Monday. And then Michael told me. And I was just like, and usually it's like, it's a 50-50 thing. I'm like, oh, no, that's good. You know, I'll talk about that. Or like, oh, that's going to be a tough one. But I was just excited. I was excited more for my own personal study on money and possessions and what the scriptures were going to say. Because for me, I feel like this is the constant challenge for me. Because for me, when I became a young adult, everything was about uni, getting a job that I probably would hate because it was all about security. It was all about making sure I had enough money and I never became poor and the people I was responsible for would never become poor. And that is not a good way to live. That is not a good value to have. It's not about that. It is about God. It is about Jesus. And I don't want to just simplify it and blanket it over. But if I was, I would say, if this is right, if my relationship with God, if I'm making it about Him, these things. And I would encourage you as well. I know Michael said about managing money or something this morning. Proverbs says a lot about money as well. Being a good steward with your money. And I would challenge you to think about, maybe not necessarily about how you get your money, but how you guard your money. And certain things where you're just guarding it. How you give your money. Are we skeptical? You know, people are just going to take advantage of it. if I give money to this person going on missions, are they really going to get anything out of it? Are they really going to, you know, make a difference over there? You know what I'm saying? Those are the things we think. Am I the only one? Or am I just too honest? But my perspective needs to be this big window. It needs to be of wonder. It needs to be of faith. It needs to be of trust. I need to trust that I might not have two houses, might not be able to take a holiday every other month, but I know that I'll have food. I know I'll have clothes. It might not be the latest fashion, but I'll have clothes. He'll meet my needs. So Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge. We thank you for the call to next level living. And you never said that it would be easy. You never said it would be easy. And most of us in here know that. When we want to go to the next level in anything, in talent, in career, it's always going to be hard. It always causes for an extra push. Where we find just another pocket of energy within ourselves, of strength within ourselves. So Jesus, would you help us? Would you speak to us in the way that only you do? That we wouldn't store up treasure here on earth. You said in your word in Colossians that we shouldn't be thinking about things below here on earth, but things above. Help us to be people of your kingdom. God, would you reveal to us, would you speak to us, for those of us where we would be enslaved, that we would be enslaved to a master of money and possessions, success and riches and whatever definition we would give that. Give us revelation on your scriptures. God, help us. Help us to protect ourselves from greed, that we wouldn't get pulled in and into a place of anxiety and a place of worry of the future and the finances around those things. But God, we would put our trust in you. You said if we wouldn't worry about anything but pray about everything, you would keep our minds and our hearts. We would have a peace that we wouldn't understand. Could we experience that here tonight? So we thank you, Jesus. If you guys want to stand, I think as I was reading and it said that, not money and possessions, but as it said, a life of God worship. A life of God worship. When I asked that first question and I said, for those of you guys who wanted to go to that next level living, for those of you guys who said that it's not my life, it's God's, whatever you want to do, do with it. Then this is right here. This is the time where we give God's what's his. The only way, sometimes the only way that our minds can be changed, our hearts can be changed, is by God's word. That he said, don't be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's through his word. That's in his presence. So let's just worship God.